Back. We haven't had a shiur in a long time. Welcome, Hannah, to shiur. You'll have to carry the torch. So thank you. I thank you for coming, for learning together, and I hope everyone is doing well and adjusting back to school and Elul, your Avodas Hashem, your growth. Everything should continue to go well. So I have someone I'm very close with who's very, very cynical. And cynicism is sometimes a terrible midah. And Avodas Hashem. So he called me last Sunday, and he said, "Sariel, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He said, "You're doing okay? Like you're fine?" I said, "Yeah. What do you mean?" He goes, "You're not trembling?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You're not like shaking in your boots?" I'm like, "What's going on?" He goes, "It's Elul." I'm like, "Oh, you're so cynical, right? Where is he? Why is he saying that?" Because you hear, at least when we were in yeshiva, every Musa Shmuz in Elul was that people used to shake. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes in a letter that he would see people faint in shul on Shabbos Mevarechim Elul when they said, you know, Rosh Chodesh Elul. People would faint. Rav Shalom Shradron, the great Magid, says that he knew people who had to change their shirt 3 or 4 times a day during Elul because they were sweating. They were schwitzing over the impending Yom HaDin. I saw it, the first Belzer Rebbe, they said he had to have a thicker blanket during Elul because he would shiver. He was scared. Right? There is a sense of pachad with the Yom HaDin, and we don't necessarily feel that, experience that, because Baruch Hashem we're here, and we went through Rosh Hashanah a lot of years already. We're here, and it's hard to feel that, but it's certainly real. The Dubna Magid said a great mashal. The Dubna Magid said, imagine if you would walk out of shul on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, and there was 30 buses outside of shul. Okay, and one bus said, "Find your basher." Another bus said, "Won't find your basher." Another bus said, "Cancer, lo aleinu, parnasa, hatzlacha in school, health problem," right? And imagine if there was someone, a malach tov and a malach ra, who was standing outside of shul, and as you walked to that shul, be like, "You, that bus." You, like, imagine if you saw those buses through the window in shul, that what the davening would be like. And that's the Dubna Magid says that's actually what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. There's a din. But it could be very daunting to go through all of Elul and the Yom Ha'aretz thinking that. So I want to take a little different perspective. Not that that's wrong. I'll share a different perspective. What the perspective is, why I think it's important, and I think how we could get there. So there's a story told. Could be I told this to you before Purim. I don't remember. I'm hoping if I don't remember, you probably don't remember either. There was a boy. If I did, you'll tell me. There was a boy in yeshiva who had a perfect impersonation of Mashgiach, like perfect. So Purim is like his spot. The whole yeshiva is standing around, and he is impersonating, making fun of the in jest, but he was, you know, it's Purim, so he's crossing the line a little bit. I told this story? No. Okay. So he's ripping on the Mashgiach, basically, and making the yeshiva's cracking up. He's in the middle of a whole circle. All of a sudden the Mashgiach walks in and he hears what's going on in the back of the room. So he inches forward, and in the middle of like this spiel, he leans into this student, this Bachar, and he says, "Don't forget, Elul's in 6 months." So Elul's in 6 months. Killed the mood. Completely killed the mood. Okay, fine. It's a couple months later. It's Elul in the yeshiva. And this Mashgiach was very intense. Very intense in his avoda on Elul. He no divrei batala. He would wake them up in the morning. He would walk up and down the rows of the Beis Medrash. No bittul Torah. Intense, intense, intense. One day, he's walking in the Beis Medrash. And he's walking up and down the rows, like looking at everyone to make sure there's no batal, to make sure they're not hocking around. And this boy, the boy from Purim, looks at the Mashgiach and he says, "Rebbe, don't forget it's Purim in 6 months." That's what he told him. His point was, line up. We gotta think about the Simcha of Adar. Don't be so intense. And I think that message, while it's not Purim Elul, I think there's something very important to think about there. And it really starts, I have a source sheet if that's okay, with a couple of, I think, fascinating insights, and that's the approach I want to develop tonight. I didn't number the sources, I apologize. We'll start with the Shari Tshuva. This is Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva. I'm sure you've seen bits and pieces of it. This is the first piece in all of Shari Tshuva. Bono, that is the classic Musar Tshuva work from the times of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Min HaTovos Asher Heitiv Hashem Yisbarach Im Bruyav, of the greatest gifts, the great things that God did for us, Ki Heichin Lahem Adarach La'alos Mitauch Pachas Maaseim V'lonos Mipach Pishayim. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared a path for us to allow us to get out of our ways and our sins. Tshuva. Tshuva is not just a mitzvah. Tshuva is not just a commandment. Tshuva is a tova. It's a tova from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meitiv us. He gave us a path for tshuva because it really makes no sense. Right? In any legal system, you do something wrong, you can say sorry all you want, but it was done. The ramifications of our actions. So it's a tova. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah starts. So there's a sefer called Matnas Chelko, which are the Vadim of Rav Matasyahu Salomon Shlita, is the Mashkiach in Likud. He has a sefer called Matnas Chelko on the Shari Tshuva, and he points out on the very first piece on the left side. He start like four lines down, the fifth line after the period Venira. He points out Venira Shadavka Bazeh Maschil Rabbeinu Esifro Al Inyanei Tshuva. Specific Rabbeinu Yonah was precise. And how he started the work on tshuva was with this: Shabbat laharos shemitzvah tshuva he tova shehetiv habarim buruv. Tshuva is not just a mitzvah; it's a hatava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what does that mean? Who cares? L'may nafkamina l'fichach kishaosa tshuva tzarklios besimcha v'la'asosa besimcha u'becheshek. That is a major shift, I think, in focus, at least the focus I had for many years being in tshuva, in yeshiva. Tshuva was like was an intense, almost depressing, lacking simcha experience. That was the musar that we learned. That was the musar that we heard. That was the cynicism, my friend. Are you shaking? Are you okay? Are you trembling? Now, that is true. There is, we'll try to find the right balance. There is an element of din. But if tshuva is a tova from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when someone gives you a gift, you utilize it and experience it besimcha. So tzarech lios besimcha v'la'asosa besimcha u'becheshek. You see people on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur who are walking around down and despondent and depressed. Says Rav Matasyahu Salman, no. Ratzalom she'ein tshuva. Tshuva is not u'beprat chodesh elul hamayucha l'tshuva ol kasha aleinu. It's not a burden. It's not a yoke. It's not, I'm not looking forward. Oh my gosh, El is coming, Rosh Hashanah. I have to confront what I did, my past, my sins. Ela Adarab, on the contrary, he tova me'es habore sheyachal adam lagia l'shlemus. It's the most amazing gift we have to help us reach our shlemus. Tshuva can be done with an element of simcha. And I saw this here. It's interesting. There's a sefer called Leket Rishimos, which are statements. It's very, very short pieces. Or Rav Nassim Vachvogel. Rav Nassim Vachvogel was actually the Mashkiach in Lake before Rav Matasyahu Salomon. A fascinating person. He was born in Europe in 1910. His father was one of the first students sent from the Slobodka Yeshiva to start a yeshiva with Rav Mr. Zalman Meltzer. And his father was one of the first 14. He was born, and his father took a job as a rabbi in Montreal in 1925. So he came back, and he actually, at 17 years old, enrolled in YU. This is before YU had college. It was just a yeshiva. 2 years later, they started college, and he waged a protest. His chavrusa was Rav Victor Miller in YU in like 1922 or whatever.
Victor Miller was in YU?
Yeah.
So funny.
And Rav Nassim Vachel waged a protest because they started secular classes, which was unheard of then, in yeshiva, and he ended up going back to Europe and learned in Kelm and learned in the Mir for 7 years, escaped Nazis, and was the first Mashkiach in Lakewood Yeshiva, and it was started in the early 1940s until he died in 1998. So he has a set of maybe 10 svarim on the Yom Tovim and different inyanim, and he has a piece here, it's actually in the introduction, and I also copied it because I think it's very powerful, and I think a lot of people have this wrong, myself included, for many years. They say, Rabbeinu Hayomer, our Rebbe, Rav Nassim Vachvogel used to say, She'esek HaYira, working on Yira, Yiras Hashem, And how do we normally associate Yira? Right? It's fear. It's dark. It's constraining. It's lacking simcha. He says, Esek HaYira Gorim Simcha G'dol Adam. The opposite. Working on Yiras Hashem actually causes simcha. V'limad ha-musr karay, learning musr properly, no sein la'adam chiyus gedola, gives a person a tremendous sense of chiyus, of life, vitality. V'simcha atzuma v'sipa kanefesh, a tremendous simcha. U'mishalom, look at this line, mishalom in musr v'nofel be'atzvus, someone who learns musr and becomes sad because of the musr, lo yodeh echlomo musr. He's not learning. Now this is not, I want you to make sure you're not misunderstanding me. And I know this is going to lead to a lot of questions afterwards, which is fine. I'm not advocating and a fan of the whole thank you Hashem movement and everything's amazing and Hashem, you can do nothing wrong and Hashem always loves you. Hashem does always love us. That is true. But just like a parent loves a child, sometimes gets upset and has to rebuke and admonish. This is not like a fake, like everything's amazing, you can be the worst person in the world, but thank you Hashem. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that someone who becomes sad doesn't know how to learn Musar. And look what he writes. Yitzhak Avinu, Shu Amad HaYira. We know Yitzhak represented Yira. Pachad Yitzchak, as we say. Shmo Haya Yitzchak. What's the word Yitzchak? Miloshon Tzchok. A smile. A laugh. Yitzchak Yiranin. Rina, joy. So Yitzchak was the Amad HaYira. Yitzchak represented fear of Hashem. Pachad Yitzchak. But Yitzchak Yiranin. Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim. The fear of Hashem brings us life and lengthens our days. V'chal avoda yiram utel asalenu tzrich elios pegeder shol tosif. It has to add. It has to be positive. Lola hepek chalila. Amar mashkiach, the mashkiach said, Adraba, esek ha-yira, b'li simcha. If a person's working on yira, elul yira, yachal lahavi le'ivad la'avdon chasam. It can lead to depression. The chmoshe was seen as the Esav. Esav ha'yelo yira. Ach b'lo simcha, he had no simcha. So to have Yira and to focus on Yira, which is important to focus on Yira. I'm not saying only not focus on it. There is a din and there is a Yira, but it has to be a Yira that leads us to Simcha. It has to be a Yira. The Musar, the Tshuva has to be done with Simcha and be done with the Gishmak. With the Gishmak. So how do we do that? How does, on the one hand, we really confront what we're doing wrong and have a charata? It's a critical component to tshuva, is charata. How do you have charata, regret, and work on Yiras Hashem, and at the same time, do it with simcha? So I'd like to share the following. I was at Ol Chaim this past Tuesday night in Psek, and I decided one of the things I want to work on is to talk and learn more. So when you see people, instead of just shooting the breeze, obviously you say hello, how you doing, whatever. But instead of just hocking around forever, try to talk and learn more. So this was the first night I was going to try that. So I saw an old friend of mine from Passaic, Yehuda Graf is his name, great guy, he's a lawyer. I said, what's going on? He's always learning, what are you learning? He's just like, I have a war for you. I said, sure. So he told me the following. He started by telling me that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was all about Yira during El. Tainus Dibor, people fate. He has a lot of letters all about the fear of the Yom HaDin. His Talmud is Itzala Petersberger. Itzala went around and only spoke about Avas Hashem during El. So there was a great Rav, the great Mashkech, the Slovak Yeshiva, Avram Grzinski, who asked Rabbi Itzala, why are you veering off the path of your Rebbe? Your Rebbe focused on Yira, Yiras Hashem in El. You're focusing on Avas Hashem. Why the change? So Itzala said that Rabbi Shlomo Salanter's door, their generation, they mastered Yiras Hashem. They reached the shleimus of Europe. Our generation, people aren't there. We have to focus on Avas Hashem. What exactly does that mean? Somebody told me something unbelievable. Turn the page over. I had never seen this before. You know, everyone talks about all the acronyms of El. There's I'm sure you heard a million shiurim. There's some very creative ones. There's a ton. This I never. It's not an acronym. What does the word mean? What does the word El mean? I don't know. What does the word El mean? What did they say?
But you can start.
Okay? So while you're looking, take a look in Parshas Shlach. I had never seen this. Pasuk says, Shlach lecha Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, send out people, the Asuru.
Spy.
Huh?
Spy.
Yeah, very good. Where does it come from?
Here.
Right here. Who said this?
Rehulik.
Beautiful. The Asuru as Eretz Canaan. Take a look at Unkelus. It's on the left side of that source. Shlach lecha guvrin, send out people, the Alun. The Alun, spy. The Aramaic for Yasuru, spy, is the word El. Which makes sense, because what are we doing in El? We're, so to speak, spying on, we're looking into, we're searching, we're looking for things, our soul, looking into our soul. We're spying on our soul. We're spying on our actions. It makes sense. I never seen this before. Apparently, the Sar Shalom of Bells, one of the earlier Bells rabbis, maybe the first, I don't remember. He points this out. Maybe others do as well. The Asuru is Eretz Canaan, to spy, Miloshun El, the Alun. Not much the same word, El. El means to spy. Again, it makes sense, right? That's what we're doing now. We should be spying. If we're not looking at our souls and our actions, then we're doing something wrong. El. He then added something that I thought was unbelievable. What's the difference between the word viasuru and liragel? Because what are they called? Miraglim. So there's two words that mean search and spy. There's viasuru and there's liragel. So he told me, and I found it inside, in a sefer called the Ksava Kabbalah. He writes over here in the next source, Yesh Hevdel, there's a difference, distinction, Bein Tar, to spy, to search, Limiragel. What's the difference? He says, Ha'ish Asher Yasur, Hu Mevakesh Tov. The word Yasuru, Tur, Tar, is to search for something good. And he quotes numerous psukim that connote that. Lasur lahem minucha. Lasur lachem makom lechanoschem. El eretz asher tarti lahem. Los sasuru acher levavchem. It's don't go after the good that your heart and eyes see. Lir dovachar atanugim. So lasur is to search for the good. Ubehepech, on the opposite, miragel yivakesh eshara. Luragel is to look for the bad in things. They were called miraglim because what they do, rather than look for the good, Eretz Avas Chalav Devash, and all the opportunities in Eretz Yisrael, they saw the problems. So they were miraglim, that's why they were called miraglim, and not masrim or masurim. I don't know what the proper grammar would be. So said to my friend Yehuda Graf, I think it's a great word. If you put these two things together, it's unbelievable. Elul is milashon yasuru, is to spy. What kind of spying? To look for the good. Not just to look for the bad. We are so often focused on, I remember when I was in yeshiva, they told us, do a cheshbon nefesh, take a piece of paper, and write all the things you're not doing well. And I got so down, because it was a long list, and I was just focused on what I wasn't doing right. And then one of my rabbim told me, no, you need me to fold the paper in half, and I want to write all the things you're doing well, and then on the other side, write the things you're not doing well. Yesuru is levakesh tov, to find the good. I think a way to do tshuva besimcha, and to do the tshuva of Avas Hashem, is to focus on what we're doing well. Now, how does that really help? Because we have to do tshuva and do more good. So I want to explain as follows. Tell you, I think an amazing insight from the parsha. No one's at the YFM today, right? Yeah. I said that to young family tonight. I think it's a great word. Times of Melchama, everyone goes to war, right? The Torah in this week's parsha lists a few exemptions of who doesn't have to go to the war. The fourth one is one that makes sense. It's Mi'ish Asher Yarei Virach Levav. Someone who's simply, according to Machlokas in the Gemara, Rashi quotes, Rabbi Kiva says that someone who's scared. If you're scared in battle, you can't be a successful soldier. That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says someone who's worried about the sins that they have. Right? If you don't feel like you have the Siyata Deshmaya, that Kosh Baruch is with you, you're also not going to have the confidence to be successful in war. That's the fourth exemption. The Torah has three other exemptions. What are the exemptions? Mi'a Ish Asher Bana Bayis V'lo Chanacho. Someone who built a house and did not move in. someone who planted vineyards and didn't yet enjoy the fruit. And Misha Iris Isha Velo, I forgot the Pasuk Lakacha, someone who got engaged and didn't get married. So why are they exempt? Yeah, like it's annoying to build a house and not move in. To get engaged and not get married, it's get sad. Why are they exempt? This is times of war, it's Pikuach Nefesh. Why are they exempt? So there's different opinions in the Rishonim. The Ibn Ezra says that a person who got engaged, built a house, planted a vineyard, is so focused, singularly focused on what they're doing, they can't concentrate in battle. They're thinking about their life, they're getting engaged, they're thinking about their spouse. They built a house, they want to move in, they're finalizing all the... They can't focus in battle. That's Ibn Ezra. Pshat. Ibn Ezra. The Rashbam says, the person who built a house, planted a vineyard, got engaged, and then has to go to war, feels like, oh, I have such bad luck. Can you believe that? I just got engaged, now I'm going to war? So a person who feels like they have bad mazel, that person can't be successful in war. Because everything that's going to be happening, he's not going to have the confidence. I'm bad mazel, I'm not going to do good. The Gemara says, something else, the Gemara says, unbelievable. We have a whole shiur on this. It's to protect the dignity of the first person we spoke about. Imagine that walk of shame. He's about to go to battle, he's scared. He has to walk out. Thousands of people are looking at this guy. Nebuch. He's scared. We're all risking our life and you're scared. Oh, you're not firm enough to go to battle. You don't feel like you have the Siyata Dishmaya. So embarrassing. So know what we did? We created more exemptions so that when someone sees the person leaving the battlefield, they don't know why he's leaving. Maybe he got engaged. Mazel tov. They're not going to be ripping on the guy anymore. Unbelievable. That's what the Gemara says. Rashi has a line. Rashi says it's Agmas Nefesh. To build a house, plant a vineyard, and get engaged, you're not living it, enjoy it, get married, is Agmas Nefesh. What does that mean? Agmas Nefesh? It's also Agmas Nefesh to die in battle. Why is not moving into a house you built more of an Agmas Nefesh? So I'd like to suggest the following, based on a story. My brother just had the chance to meet with the Gabbai, the Shamash, or Amiel Biederman. I'm sure you've seen some of his videos, right? So my brother's boss is very wealthy. So the Gabbai, or Melech Biederman, wanted to meet with him to get money from my brother's boss. So the Gabbai came and he told them the following story. It was Motzei Rosh Hashanah in Bnei Brak. A lot of Hasidim came to spend Rosh Hashanah with the Rebbe. I guess whoever didn't go to Uman went to Bnei Brak. So they're in Bnei Brak. Rosh Hashanah ends and they're waiting at the bus stop in Bnei Brak to go back to Yerushalayim. And they're tired, they're hungry, they're anxious to get home, they haven't seen their mishpachas. And waiting for the bus doesn't come. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but they're impatient, very impatient. Finally, the bus comes, but the number on top of the bus was, I don't know, 410, instead of the bus for Yerushalayim, the bus going to Petach Tikva. So the guy opens the door and says, Petach Tikva. They go, no, Yerushalayim. He says, I can't, this is the bus, this is the route, it's going to Petach Tikva. They said, no one's going to Petach Tikva tonight, you have to get to Yerushalayim. He said, I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I can lose my job. I have a job. This is the route to Petah Tikva. I can't go to Yerushalayim. They're begging, they're pleading. Finally, he says, you know what? Come on the bus, I'll take you to Yerushalayim. They're so happy. They get on the bus, everyone sits down, they fall asleep, they're tired. One chassid couldn't fall asleep. So he goes to the front of the bus and he says to the driver, I don't understand. Why did you change your mind? We didn't offer you money. You said you could lose your job. If you weren't going to take this originally, why are you taking this now? He broke out into a huge smile. So let me tell you something. I'm a driver, and I was at the central, bus station, and the driver for the Bnei Brak Yerushalayim route never showed up. And after 20 minutes, they said to me, listen, you just go and you pick up them from Bnei Brak and take them to Yerushalayim. I knew if I came and the had the right number and I said Yerushalayim, you would all get on the bus and start yelling and screaming at me. You're 20 minutes late. We were here for 3 days. We want to go home. You would have been livid. So you know what I did? I just wrote Petach Tikva. And now, you thought I was going to Petach Tikva. Now you think I'm the biggest hero. I'm doing the biggest favor in the world. I'm taking you to Yerushalayim rather than Petach Tikva and rather than deal with your yelling and screaming the whole bus ride. Everyone's very happy with me. So it's a nice move. It's a nice move. We all do that same thing as the bus driver all the time. I find that, myself included, we recreate expectations for ourselves so that we're not disappointed in ourselves when we don't live up to those expectations, right? I'm a person who doesn't really learn. So if I don't learn, I don't feel bad about myself. And the one time I actually go to a shiur, I feel like $1 million. I went and I learned because I'm a person who doesn't learn. I'm a person who gets angry. That's how I am. It's my mahus. I get angry. It's how it comes broken me. What can I do? So then if I get angry, I don't get upset at myself. And the reason I think people do that all the time, and you'll see this as people get older, is because untapped potential is really the worst feeling. It's debilitating. It's crushing. And it's depressing. You see, for me, I have all, friends and classmates, students with endless potential. And when it doesn't get actualized, potential that doesn't get actualized is very hard to deal with. So rather than have to confront our own failure to reach our potential, we just lower the bar and recreate we think our potential is. Like that bus driver. It was a great move for that bus driver when you're dealing with people not being angry for you. But in life, that's not a good move. Yes, I know tefasta merubah lo tefasta, and that's the Yetzer Hara often telling us tefasta merubah lo tefasta. You need to chill. You do need to chill. And yes, tefasta merubah lo tefasta. But we have endless potential, and we get down when we don't fill the potential. But that should drive us to do better, to fulfill a potential. And I think that could be a focus on Elul, which leads us to a sense of simcha and doesn't break us and allows us to also do tshuva, which is to create a vision in our minds of what our potential is. And for you, every person here, that vision should still be very, very high. You are not yet back long enough to have been jaded, or hopefully not. If yes, then, you can do tshuva. But you should still have those goals and aspirations and recognize the great potential. Create a picture of where you could be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, what life could look like. And when you have that potential, you're doing what the Elul of the Ksava Kabbalah, Lasur, not Miragel, to think of the good. What am I doing to live to my potential? And through that, you end up doing more good. You know, if you have a cup of oil and you want to get the oil out of the cup. So how do you get the oil out of the cup? If I have oil in this cup right now, how do I get it out? Pour. That's one way. You can pour the oil out of the cup. There's another way. What's that?
Drink it.
I'll help you drink the oil.
Make a hole?
No?
Make a hole?
No, that's the same thing. It's pouring it out.
Add more?
What? Add more water. If you add enough water into the cup, you know what's going to happen? The oil will go to the top and eventually go out of the cup. I think a way to, so to speak, get oil out of the cup, to get rid of to do tshuva, to stop the negative that maybe we're involved with, is to add more water, to add more tov, to be miragel, to be yasur, not miragel, to be vakesh tov, to focus on what we do, what we could do, what our great potential is. And through that, we'll be driven to do better. And memela, the things we aren't doing good will pass. I shared this with a friend of mine the other night, and he pointed out an incredible Rav Kook, a piece from Rav Kook, and his Sefer on Agadah to Gemara. If you take a look at the bottom right, and we'll end with this. And I think I suggested this to you all in one of the first shiurim we have, without knowing this Rav Kook, and I was very happy to see this. He writes, Kishem, it's in the bottom right. Kishem sheyesh toelas gedola latikun hanefesh bevidui haavonos. The same way, there's a great purpose to fix, to rectify, to do good by articulating our sins, right? Shanu begadnu achit shechatanu achit shechatanu achit shechatanu vidui. Kain yesh gam kain toelas leprakim kivum. There's also a purpose sometimes. On the Merchokinheim, not too often. Veinim Tadirim, don't do it all the time. Kolkach Kevidu Shalchatayim, it shouldn't be as often as we do Vidu in our sins. Why? Kideshlo Yazuach Alav Lavavo, Ye Notel Atsala, Gaiv Lashur Slave, you don't become arrogant or haughty. But what should you do? Aval Prakim, Timsa Tuelas Laovde Hashem, Yishre Derech, Gamkein Bevidui HaMitzvos. The same way we should do vidui and arvonos, and we're going to do a lot of vidui and arvonos, starting with slichos through Yom Kippur, achet shechatanu, avinu malkeinu, chatanu lefanecha. There's vidui, yashav nebeganu, and it can be very challenging. Sometimes, not as often, but once in a while, someone who's an Eved Hashem, yishrei derech, should be vidui ha-mitzvos, loman yismach vehem belovavo, v'yechazek orchos chayiv b'derech Hashem. It'll give a tremendous chizuk. I think that's exactly what we're saying. To focus on what we're doing well, again, doesn't mean ignore the avonos. But the way to get the oil out of the cup is not just to get rid of the oil. Do enough mitzvot and think of our potential, our endless potential as Ovdei Hashem. We could memela get the oil out of the cup. That's what Cook's saying. One of his students, some Rav who lives in Israel, I don't know what his name is, I forgot. My friend sent this to me also. He wrote a vidui of the Tov. Now, I wouldn't suggest saying this instead of the other vidui or saying this on Yom Kippur, but it's certainly interesting to look at and to think about and to do that in our own life. I have new. I've loved the people I've loved. I'm sure every person here has had friends, family members who needed a hug, some love, and showed them some love. Bachinu, and we cried when a friend was struggling or there was tzaras from Klai Yisrael. And that's a good thing. Gamalnu, Dibarnu Yofi, Emanu, we believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when things were hard to believe. Hishtadalnu, we tried. We did our Hishtalis, Acharnu, we hugged. We learned to say fair. You keep on going through. Very, 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 very beautiful. And I would suggest in our own life to do that as well. We should do a Cheshbon Nefesh of the sins also, but to focus on what we're doing well, on what we're good at, what our potential is, as an Eved Hashem. And if we do that, I think Memela, the water will, the oil will go out of the cup, so to speak, and we'll be able to have a tshuva like Rabbeinu Yonah says. That's we'll recognize that it's a tova asher heiti l'Hashem Yisbarach and bruav, like Rabbi Matasiyahu Solomon Shlita says, that we should do a simcha and with a cheshek. We're going to run to do tshuva because we're confronting what we do well, and through that we'll be blessed. Ezra Hashem with a ksilah, ksimah tova, and a wonderful year of growth together.